And welcome back to the Constitutionals Podcast. I'm your host, Chad White. If you didn't know, this is the premier podcast for the website, cpluscomedy.com. Like I just said, it's a website. Go there. Bonus episode. Here we are with a brand new interview from a comedian. I was going to say a brand new comedian. She's not brand new, but she's a very funny person. Who maybe you don't know. So here we go. We've got the hottest release, the debut full-length comedy album, Ice Cream Money, from Ashley Ray via Blonde Medicine. It's available everywhere you can find your streaming audio. Oh, you got it on Spotify. You got it on YouTube Music. You got it on Apple Music. Does Apple Music do comedy albums? I don't know. We'll see. Ashley Ray, you may know her from her podcast, TV I Say, which is where I know her from. She was also the 2021 HBO Max Queer Comic to Watch and 2023 BET Black Woman Comic to Watch. Look at her. She's kicking ass everywhere. She's written for sites like The Cut, Vulture, Cosmopolitan, and AV Club, where she wrote a bunch of reviews for shows like Scandal and Black-ish. In fact, I even pulled up an old review from Black-ish that I remembered in the back. It's just been sitting in the back of my head because it's the only episode of that show I've never seen. We talk about it, so check it out. For the podcast TV, I say, we'll get to the album again in a second. I gotta run down her resume. She talks to people like Jason Mantzoukas, Roxane Gay. Roxane Gay is a fantastic writer. And, you know, Jason's funny. Roxane Gay is a fantastic writer. Nicole Byer is just a wonderful person all around. Great host, great podcast person, great comedian. That's three great people she talks to, Jason, Roxane, Nicole, about what they're watching. Talks to people about what they're watching on TV, I say. It's a great podcast. You should check it out. You should, in the midst of also, before you check that out, also check out Ice Cream Money. She's very funny, Ashley Ray. You can go to her Instagram, go to her YouTube, TikTok, YouTube, whatever, and check out clips of her telling jokes to the audience, as she does because she's a comedian. they're really funny, and the audience is having a great time. We also talk about the names of her tracks on the album because they stood out to me because they're so uniquely named. She has a track called Pete Davidson, just like how Ariana Grande has a one called Pete Davidson. Isn't that funny? A lot of the tracks are in reference to each other sometimes. There's Black Privileges 1, number 1, and number 2. And then there's Black Privilege, number 3. Very funny. And what if the earth is flat? And what if Canada isn't real? I mean, come on. We're like coming in halfway into these sentences. I love it. Ashley Ray and I had a great time. It's fantastic. We talked about a whole litany, a whole smattering of things. And it was just, it's got to be one of my favorite interviews. She's just so animated. It was great. And it was Friday night, 7 p.m. here. And I was already done with my day. You can check out, as again I said, you can check out Ashley Ray's Ice Cream Money wherever you get your stand-up stuff. You can buy it, and it's even on audio, vinyl, excuse me, is what I meant to say. I saw audio in the press release, so I was like, that's it. It's even on vinyl. This has been 5 minutes. It's even on vinyl. I'll say it one more time. You can follow Ashley online at theashleyray.com, where you can see her dates and everything. You can also follow her on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at TheAshleyRay. She posts some great stuff over there on all those platforms. You can listen to her podcast, TV I Say, with Ashley Ray, wherever you get podcasts. And now, it's time for you to listen to this interview. Video version on youtube.com/C+Comedy. You can follow us, C+Comedy, on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can tell your friends, subscribe to their podcasts, all that other stuff. Enjoy this, Ashley Ray. So you can just sit back, relax, answer the questions as poorly as you need to.
Great.
Well, congratulations on your on this new album. I mean, this is a big step for you, for anybody really, but for you in particular, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's my debut album, Ice Cream Money. I've been doing stand up now for 8 years, and it's you know, the everything I've been working on over those 8 years. It's my first like nice hour that I've taken on the road. I've done at festivals. So it feels good to really summarize sort of what I've been doing and developing my voice up until this point. And I think it's just a really funny, fun album. I did it at Union Hall, which is one of my favorite venues. New York was one of the cities where I feel like I kind of developed myself as a comic. I came up in Chicago, but I had a job that would fly me between New York and Chicago. Wow. So I would go to New York for 2 weeks out of like every month. And I would like have client meetings, go to work. And as soon as I got off work, I would just go to as many open mics, comedy shows as I could. So it's a city where I finally was like, I think I'm real. I think I'm a real comedian. Yeah. So doing it at Union Hall was really cool.
When did you, I like to know this, when did you start making money and go, okay, now I can quit this, this job that's flying me around places?
Oh, I mean, I didn't quit until 2021. I got a TV writing gig, and then I was like, okay, I think now's the time. I'm gonna go write for Alabama Jackson and let's go. And then it got canceled, but you know, we move.
Yeah, I of all the TV shows you were gonna mention, I didn't think Alabama Jackson was gonna be the thing that was your savior from a regular corporate job.
Yeah. And I was like, let's go. And I was also like touring and making enough from doing shows that I was like, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
So that's when I really was like, oh, I'm like a touring comedian headliner. Like I can, you know, people want me to come places and do comedy.
Yeah. Was that a natural switch for you to go to write into headline, not write in headline, but like going into the headlining space and people are coming out for you, if not just for a big night of comedy from somebody whose name is on the marquee?
Yeah, that was a big shift for me, because coming up in Chicago, you do a lot of shows with a lot of great comics. You know, you'll do sold out shows, but you're like, oh, it's because, you know, these people are on the lineup. And it took me a while to really be convinced, like, oh, this show sold out because I'm on it. And it was my first doing my first hour at Union Hall. I also had comics open for me. Some people that I loved, Becca O'Neill, Sydney Washington, I had booked, and some other people. But the night of, Sydney had to drop out because she had double books. And I was like hitting up the venue and I was like, I don't know, Sydney had to drop out. Like, should we find someone else? And they were like, Ashley, it sold out and people want to see you. They were like, people bought the tickets because they want to see you. You don't have to replace anybody. Like, you, that's fine. And that was the first time I was like, oh, right. Yes, they're here for me. Exactly. And that's still a part that I'm still shocked that I even make money telling jokes on a stage. I'm still like, this is how I pay my rent and I can buy groceries because of this. Yeah. So I'm so thankful whenever a crowd comes out for me. And that's also in the Midwest, you know, you get to tour a lot, go to a bunch of cities. And I definitely practiced a lot in rooms that were not full.
Yeah.
Where I was like, none of these people came out to see me. These are just people who are in Bloomington, Indiana, looking for something to do on a Saturday. And I am the option. So coming from that, you know, you work hard to win people over. So when you already have them on your side, it's like, what? Oh my goodness. Wow.
It's wild. And, even you mentioning that the fact that you get to tell jokes and you get to pay rent and buy food. I think about this. I've been thinking about this recently when, I'm watching TV or I'm watching a movie, which I do a lot. I'll watch somebody act and, like you're watching Law and Order, SVU, and there's somebody who's not a named character reprimanding Mariska Hargitay. And I'm going, this is like they're acting and they were probably paid a couple of thousand dollars for five or six lines, and like this is the dumbest thing in the world. And I lose myself in it, but I'm also going, this is so stupid. And while other people are going to an office and putting on a tie and like typing in faxes or however things are handled,
Yeah,
it's
sending
so insane.
emails. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah, I get to do this. And yeah, so I feel really lucky, and I just love doing comedy. At 8 years in, I think I've had some ups and downs. I've had some cycles where I'm like, oh, I'm sick of this. And especially like when COVID hit, and I think every comic, we all were like, we had plans. We had I had things we were supposed to do and places our careers were supposed to go. And then it was like, never mind, everything is just off track for 3 years. So now it feels like, okay, I'm getting back to, what I wanted to be doing and who I am now, because quarantine has changed all of us. I'm just, yeah, very different.
You sound so old and weathered by saying it like that. Quarantine has
Yeah,
changed all of us.
oh, it's changed all of us. I got through it. I got through, but yeah.
And I, something else I know you for really is the podcast. It's part of HeadGum, right?
It's a Earwolf podcast
Earwolf, Earwolf.
under, yeah, Earwolf Sirius XM. They bought it 2 years ago.
Okay.
Originally, it was independent. I started it myself when I was losing my mind during quarantine. I was in my room and I was just like, I need a project. I need something to focus on. So I started this podcast where I love TV. I used to be a TV critic when I was starting stand up, which is also interesting to kind of make that transition. But I wanted a place where I could just celebrate TV and talk about it without sort of the burden of it being, fact or critical or this, just burden of this is coming from a state of knowledge or whatever. I just wanted a place to be like, isn't 90 Day Fiance so funny? Like, oh, yeah.
Did you write for AV Club at all?
Yeah, I did
Okay.
AV Club, Vulture, Primetimer, a few places I would freelance. I for AV Club, I did Scandal recaps for the last 2 seasons, Blackish, Insecure, basically any Black TV show, I was the person they brought in. So.
I know a couple of people over there. Did you for Blackish, there was an episode that featured Chris Brown. Did you write that review?
Yes, I did.
I remember
That
the
was,
opening
yeah.
line. I remember the opening line. I think one of the lines was, "I will never support Chris Brown" or something like that. And
Yeah.
I think, like, truly, I don't reviews or recaps or anything. But when I read that, I was like, I can't watch this episode. That was, I don't know why that's like popping in my head, but that was such a
Oh,
very specific thing.
I got a lot of flack for that one. The headline was fuck Chris Brown and Blackish should know better.
Yes. Oh my God.
And yeah, that one, and that was, I wasn't even on Twitter then, and people were just, I was just getting tons of messages and comments, and I was like, I don't, whatever. I'm just, I
Wow.
was very disconnected when I was writing criticism, which I think helped the criticism.
Yeah.
But I also was like protected from the backlash. Now doing stand up, I have to be very online, so it's like, oh yeah, I shouldn't share opinions because I don't want people to yell at me.
Yeah.
So.
It's so tough because we have things like TikTok and then obviously X has gone down into the shithole. And
Yeah.
it's it you it's so hard to like stand out and also make a meaningful impact with comedy, because now I'm seeing a lot of comedians post crowd work, and obviously that's the thing that does well. But it sucks because there are a lot of great comedians who write great jokes, and they
Yeah.
can't just put up a 30-second clip of it because it won't perform as well
It
as.
doesn't, yeah, the algorithm doesn't respond to it the same way. People like crowd work, viewers, audiences, they like to feel involved. They like to the excitement of what's going to happen. Oh, is this real? Oh my goodness. So it's so hard to post those clips that are going to actually get you the views. And I think that gets frustrating. I got tired of posting clips of jokes and being like, oh, no one is looking at this because I didn't use the right hashtag or I didn't tag a location. So it's only, and you just, it's, oof, I'd hate that we have to be like social media managers and video editors to do stand-up comedy now. But I think that's why like I wanted to do an album because it just feels very like old school comedy. That's what I used to listen to. I fell in love with comedy through albums.
Yeah.
And I think if you can be funny on an album, like if you can make people laugh with just your voice, that's then you know you're funny. And so a lot of, you know, a lot of my friends are like, why aren't you just doing a special? Why don't you just put the video on YouTube? And I was like, because it's an album. Let's do something different. You know, I don't want to put something on YouTube and people are just like, well, where's the crowd work? What works for TikTok in this?
Yeah. I loved skipping through tracks when you put an album on. Not yours. I would not skip through yours, but like finding your favorite track, you know, if Patton Oswalt or Hannibal Buress or Wanda Sykes, if you're listening to them before streaming, before Netflix, before you,
yeah.
not Netflix, Spotify, YouTube, all that stuff, you could just find that one joke that's 5 minutes and that worked for you. And that's the funniest thing. What went into your track listings and how did you name them? It's because I look at like some track listings. Some people, they say, you know, it's like Pop-Tarts and, you know, Brian Regan or Jim Gaffigan's going to do that Pop-Tart bit. But or Hot Pocket or whatever. I don't know what it is. But how did you go into naming yours?
Yeah, I wanted to bake some jokes into the track list. I was like, this is a place to have fun with this.
Yeah.
So there are some jokes in there. There's like a Ariana Grande reference. I have a Pete Davidson joke. So I named a track Pete Davidson like she did on on her album Sweetener. I make fun of myself in one where it's like, oh, it takes Ashley 40 minutes to mention that she's polyamorous. Since, you know, that's probably a record for someone with a microphone not mentioning it immediately. And so I tried to just kind of where I could make jokes. But I also part of it is I think most comics, when you get into sort of your set, you give your jokes dumb names, like when you're writing down what you're going to do. So like I have one where on my notes, it's just breast milk cum. And I know what that means, but like, and you know, one of my friends was looking at a notebook and was like, what is that? Breast milk cum, like 9/11 Boston. And I'm just like, it makes sense to me. So I pulled from some of those because I just, you know, for me doing this material for so long, that was kind of those were some of the names that made it feel more like what I was doing on the road and just personal. And, you know, the little inside jokes of, yeah, this is breast milk cum.
Yeah. Breast Milk Cum also sounds like the title track to a Lil Yachty album or something.
Yes.
and it's just him repeating Breast Milk Cum the entire time. You just hear like the squeeze of a tit. So where have been some of your favorite places to perform when you were a touring comic and even while doing this, besides New York and Chicago around the United States, what was it like? What, San Francisco Sketch Fest? Was that a good venue for you?
Yeah.
Playing the big crowds like that work?
Yeah, I just did my first Sketch Fest this year, actually. And it was amazing. It was great to be in front of such a big crowd in such a great theater. I think I'm happy I did it at this stage in my career. I think if I had done it earlier, I don't know that I could have handled it. I did a lot of festivals because that's, you know, a great way to get experience as a touring comic, but they were small, like Cream City Comedy, Milwaukee Comedy Festival, the Black Girl Giggles Fest in New Orleans, Black Women in Comedy, little tiny fests where you're like, oh, yeah. I'm going to meet some other comics, maybe some industry people. But like the big one, Sketch Fest, that was like, oh, this is the big leagues. You know, I met Todd Barry there. I met so many people that I'm like, oh, I'm such a fan. But I think, my favorite place, Minneapolis. I love performing in Minneapolis. I just love most of the Midwest, like Milwaukee, Madison, they're great too. But Minneapolis, I always have the most fun. The audiences are great. I think because alcohol is so cheap there, they really are down to have a good time. Especially if you do shows in the cold in the winter, people just want to drink and be happy. They want something to cheer them up. So they're just really grateful, I think, that you decided to brave Minneapolis, that the crowds will just kind of love anything you do.
What is a you know that that made me think of routines for when you're doing when you're about to do a show. What's your pre-show? What's your post-show? Do you like to go out after? Do you like to have dinner before? The heaviness of pasta sitting in your tummy as you're I'm a grown man. I
I
said
do,
tummy.
yeah. Oh, and you should, and that is in your that is your right. I do do a pre-show meal. I like to sit by myself and kind of center myself, and somewhere where I can sit at the bar and just order like a steak and cocktails as many as I and just center and be like, okay, we're gonna do this. Okay, what are we gonna do this? Okay, let's get into a zone where I'm comfortable and I feel like being on stage. Wake myself up. And so that's usually what I do before. And then like if when I'm backstage and it's like go time, I'm usually like stretching. I try to do like I don't know, jumping jacks. I really just try to
Oh,
get the energy
you know
moving
what? All
because
right.
it's easy to like get on stage and like and lose that momentum and to lose your energy. And you want to come out heat, ready. You want to come out fired up.
That I look, you know what? I appreciate that. I love the enthusiasm, and I can't fault anybody for what they do, pre-show, post-show, whatever. Who cares? It's
Yeah.
as long as it works for you and it continues to work. I mean, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, post show depends. I go out with other comics, go to another show. I usually try to stay out. I feel like I think that energy when you lose it at the end of a big show, you sell something out and you go back to your hotel room and you're alone and you're like, "Oh, this is dark." That so I try to put that moment off as long as I can.
What with being a comic and being so ingrained in comedy, I want to ask you about two things in particular. Well, I mean the same thing, but in different ways. Do you watch a lot of comedy? And also with doing the TV, I say, do you find that you're accepting TV and comedy in the same way, or do you always critique, or do you get tired of either of them? How do you deal with all of that?
Yeah, I watch everything. I watch everything. I watch everything. If I even if I'm not tweeting about it or talking about it, I promise you I'm watching it. Especially other comic specials. I try to see what everyone is doing and where they're like coming from. I think you learn a lot from watching other comics, like Gary Gulman's last special. Oh, I
That's
mean,
what I was thinking about.
you learn every I mean, Gary, yes, he could burp and you'd probably learn something. The dude's amazing. And so, I the like comedic elders, I try to always be tapped in. And then, like the Matt Rife, but if people are talking about it, I'll watch it. And I did, even when it's a comic that I'm like, I don't know if this is really for me, I will give it a chance. And I think at this point, I like had to put down that critical eye. I've had to put away my criticism hat. I'm not writing about any of this. I've always, even when I was a critic, I always had a rule that I wouldn't write about like my contemporaries, or people that I do shows with, which worked when I was an up and coming comic in Chicago and I was doing bar shows and no one cared. And then the next thing you know, like you're writing about like a Jerrod Carmichael documentary or something, and then you're at the Comedy Store and he's there and he doesn't like the review you wrote.
Oh my God.
So that's when I was like, oh, I guess my like what is it what someone on a colleague is changing for me. Like the colleagues aren't just, I'm not like some unknown anymore. Now I'm a person who people are like, yeah, we follow you, we like your comedy, we want to know what you think.
Man.
Yeah, so I think, at this stage, I being on the other side and creating and now putting my first sort of baby out into the world with this album, I just see how hard it is. I just appreciate anyone who can come up with an hour of jokes, an hour of material, and make people laugh with it and record and get on stage. TV shows too, and yeah, I think there's some shows that it's fine to be funny about, like 90 Day Fiance, I will make fun of. Traitors on Peacock, I will make fun of.
Oh God, traitors.
It's so good. It's so good. I love that show. But then, when I see another show and I know just how much work goes into a writer's room and putting together just episodes, how much that all it's hard. So I just now come from a place of I appreciate this. I just appreciate comedy that people even get the chance to create TV shows, particularly after the strike when it was like, when will it ever come back? So now I think people can rest easy. I am not criticizing what you're doing.
Gary Goldman special. I don't watch a lot of comedy because when I started doing this 10 years ago, when I was talking to people, I thought I had to watch everything. And that really burned me out of stand up. But when somebody like Gary Goldman comes out with a special, I have to watch it. I like that one a lot because he the Jerry Seinfeld joke where he just tore into Seinfeld. It was so great. And the special also felt unlike any other special that I've seen a lot of. It's just very casual, very matter of fact. I'm gonna deliver these jokes and you're gonna laugh. And then also he has a black wife, so it's
Yeah,
a
and I love that. I love him, Bill Burr. Kudos to you for your black wives.
You guys, they can say whatever they want now. They can do whatever they want. I'm like
Almost everything, not
almost
everything,
everything.
but
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, very true, very true, Bert.
almost everything. But yeah, I try to just watch everything and appreciate different kinds of comics. And yeah, and also I don't know. Sometimes I'm in LA, so a lot of times I don't watch someone special, and it's because I've saw them running it around town, and it's like I already okay, yeah.
Now for Ice Cream Money, which is a fantastic title. I'm so sorry it took me 21 minutes to get to the part where I go, this is a fantastic title. For
Thank
Ice
you.
Cream Money, and developing it and putting it out, obviously you're a comedian, you're still working, you're still writing, you're doing whatever, but you have to come up with the next bit of stuff. And after you've put this out, this is 8 years of work. Now you're starting from square one. You've got nothing. What is I know this has not come out yet, but what is this next part of the future look like for you when it comes to doing stand up and developing more material for eventually the next album or even the next special?
The next thing is a special. I'm working on a 30 right now. I don't know, I'm always writing jokes, so even when I w had finished up Ice Cream Money and we recorded it last summer, I was already kind of writing new things and playing around with new stuff and just trying to it's hard because you want to hit open mics, but you hit like kind of a level where you're like, God, I don't want to go to an open mic.
I
But
get
like you yeah but then you're booking shows and you don't want to do new stuff because you want to make people laugh. And that's so hard in LA too, because one time I got booked on this backdoor show and I was just like, oh, or backyard show, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm just a back in the who cares? Like 20 people in a backyard. I'm just gonna do some new stuff, see what's funny, just try this stuff out. And as I'm standing there, Malia and Sasha Obama came in.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, well, come on. Now I have to be funny. Now I just have to do my true funny, just my old funny jokes, because I can't have them go back to Michelle and Barack and be like, she sucked. So, and that happens in LA where you'll be like, oh, I'm finally going to try this. And then you get there and people are like, oh, no, the most famous person from Netflix is here. You got to be funny. So that's why I've been doing some small tours again to just get out and just start writing new stuff, which is really exciting. And that's also, I'm starting a new show at the Comedy Store. The first one's March 13th. It's called Flex with Babs Gray and Ashley Ray. And it's basically longer sets for comedians to try weird stuff. It's hard to get long sets in LA, so we want to give people like 20-minute sets to try new stuff, to rework old things. So yeah.
I don't mind. Oh, by the way, did you see that photo of Malia Obama smoking a cigarette? And
Oh yeah.
I thought, I saw that photo and I just thought, leave this poor girl alone, man. She's been through it and she,
Right.
it's fine.
They're allowed to smoke, okay? Let them do what they want.
The for the longer sets, I don't mind seeing a comedian come out and with like a piece of paper and working on something new. I think that's so special because you could be a part of something where that could be their next big bit or the next first part of this of the next big bit. And I think it's very important that you continue this new show, because it's fantastic to see somebody work through something, even if it's bad, because I'd rather you try something new as opposed to just sit there and talk to some woman from Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, exactly. And people, I get crowd work can be funny and you get stuff from it, but also maybe try write a joke.
Yeah.
Just writing, it's a part of it. It's a good part of the stand-up thing. It's writing the jokes.
I don't know. I have another show that is way less listened to than this, by 20. And it's I write like a it's a late night show, and it's a late night, not recap, but I just like cover late night. And it is I write a monologue just to see if I can do jokes
Ooh.
the same way. And I know monologue writing is different from like traditional joke writing, but it's tough. It's tough
It's
to
hard.
write down jokes and be funny. And I
Yeah.
just don't understand how people like you are able to do it and do it consistently.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with monologue jokes. I've worked on so many packets, and I can do sketch, I can do political like one-liners and stuff, but monologue jokes, it's just a different skill set. And so I love just the different ways that people engage with comedy, write comedy, perform it. And this is the most exciting time. There's so many weird comedians out there just doing weird stuff, and you don't need approval from like clubs anymore. You can just like find your own audience.
Put ice on After Midnight. Put them all on After Midnight. That's
Oh
why
yeah.
At Midnight was so successful, was because we got great people like Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel doing Tuxedo Guys and whatnot. We got Ron Funches. Now we can get people who have been big on podcasts, as well as I guess some CBS people like Max Greenfield
Yeah, so
promoting
yeah, so yeah,
The
sometimes they throw in just like a, and we have to promote this CBS show. So today
Neighborhood.
we have
That's so strange to me. I
but yeah,
did.
Jerry O'Connell, is that his name? Was he Jerry O'Connell, Rebecca Romaine Stamos's husband, who's
You're
in
gonna use a
Stand By Me?
Stamos in there too.
I mean, Rebecca Romaine, no longer Stamos, but her husband was like on it because he's on some daytime show on CBS.
Oh, the talk. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What in the world's going on? I wrote a couple of packets too, and I did one for, I mean, they're never gonna look at me, but Last Week Tonight, and it was horrible. It was the worst thing I'd ever written. And then the one I always think about is I could have done it, was Stephen Colbert's show. I wrote one
Ooh.
for a late show. And I was so excited about it and so gung ho. And I really sat down. I studied whatever materials I was given, and I didn't get it. But I think that, and coming from Last Week Tonight and then writing that one in the same kind of couple of months time span,
Yeah.
my jokes had gotten better, and I really honed in on writing for somebody else and then also kind of putting my voice in there. And yeah, this joke writing thing is I want to continue
Yeah.
doing it, and but I just it was just so different at that time.
Yeah, and that's the biggest skill, is that you have to show, you're funny, but you can write for someone else's voice. You can be funny for someone else. I did a James Corden packet for the last season of his show. And that one was one where I was like, I don't know James Corden. I don't watch him. I'm just gonna do this as sort of an exercise for myself. And then I actually got so into it. I watched so many episodes of the show that I started being like, oh man, actually, this is an exciting packet. Oh, there's so many fun things I can do. And he does a lot of music stuff, so I did a music parody, which at the time, that movie with Florence Pugh was out, Don't Worry, Darling. And so I like wrote some joke about like don't it was a joke song about Harry Styles and Don't Worry, Darling. And I was so sure, I was like, this is great, this is right up his alley. And I submitted it, and afterwards I was talking to a friend who used to write for James Corden, and he was like, oh, you made a joke about Harry Styles, he's not gonna like that. He was like, he does
Oh,
not He was like, he
God.
is not, no jokes about Styles. You can't, you gotta know. And I was just like, God, I didn't know. I didn't know his that he was so testy about that one. No
That's
Harry Styles
ridiculous.
jokes. No. Yeah.
just because they're best friends. I mean, come on.
Right? And I mean, the joke, it wasn't even making fun of him really, but I guess that's your bestie. You can't make fun of the movie he's in.
Yeah. The other one I did, I also did one for oh God, what's it? Jon Stewart show on Apple TV.
Oh
And
yeah, the problem.
The Problem. And they were specifically looking for women writers and people of color. I think one of the tasks was write five reasons why, like it was like a list. And I like five reasons why this story should exist or something like that. And I didn't write any jokes for it. And I just thought, how are they going to choose somebody for this? And then I watched the first episode and I go, oh, it's not funny. That's why.
Yeah, I was like that. It was a research show. I was like, this is, oh, yeah, debates.
Yeah,
Yeah.
tough stuff. Well, Ashley, I don't want to take up any more of your time. Ice Cream Money. I'm excited to listen to it. And I'm so happy that I could talk to a woman of color, a queer woman of color,
Yeah, queer.
doing her thing. This is fucking
Yeah.
awesome.
Thanks for having me. This was so much fun. Ice Cream Money. You can pre-order it now. It's out March 1st. And it's just my little love letter to comedy and stand up and everything I've been doing so far. So enjoy it. Have a
Yeah,
little
and
taste. It's ice cream money.
yeah, and then if you and then if people still like your voice, they can go to TV I Say, listen to that. I'm a fan, especially when you have Jason Mantzoukas on.
Ah, yeah.
This is just great. You're a very talented person, very funny, and very astute with knowledge of comedy and also television, obviously. But now I know you know comedy very well too.
Oh
So.
yeah. I've loved it for a long time, so I'm just happy to have this album out in the world.
That's awesome. All right, Ashley, have a great day. And I don't know anything else to say at the end of this.
Thanks
So
for having me. Yeah.
you're welcome. Bye.
Bye.